Qualitative assessment of the public health system. My outline is I'm going to discuss the usage of the instrument by the health commission and health department and the community at large, and how we translated the knowledge that we gained from the results of the local public health system to opportunities for to improve health in our community, and then improvements in the revised instrument version 2 as we experienced it. Because we did go through version 1 and we was a field test site for version 2. So how did we do it? The health department convened a meeting inviting health commissioners and committee members. And in that meeting, we identified essential service area co-leaders. We grouped essential service numbers together, 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and then we grouped together 5, 8 and 9, and then we grouped together 10. And this was just our way of doing it. You'll find that, you know, whatever fits well for your community and those involved in the process is the decision that you would make for your community health assessment. And I trust those who have not engaged in this process will, because it's a worthwhile effort. Okay, so we identified co-leaders, and then we identified committee co-chairs, and the health department identified the appropriate agencies to invite to each essential service assessment. So for whatever essential service was being organized at that point in time, we identified agencies and individuals in the community that would be engaged in that particular essential service. And then we sent out letters to them explaining what we were doing. And we also sent out the 10 essential service section instrument that related to that essential service. And we did that in 3 weeks advance time that we had scheduled the essential service assessment to occur. So we ended up having 5 different assessment sessions around those 10 essential services. We made follow-up phone calls to every single agency that we had mailed letters to, and we made those phone calls until we actually made person-to-person contact to confirm their attendance or not. And I tell you, I went home with a crook in my neck a lot of days from being on the telephone. And we had, in version 2, this is version 2, we had 27 people participate representing 18 agencies. But in version 1, we had about 57 people participate representing about 54 agencies. And the reason why we have fewer this time is because we had recently did version 2. If 6 months had not passed when we were asked to do a field test for version 2. So we did version 2 just as a field test to, you know, give feedback to CDC on their improvements in the instrument. So we determined the assessment session process. We explained the purpose of the sessions to the participants when they came to the survey meeting. We explained the assessment instrument structure and its intended outcome. We came to a common understanding of the public health system, and that was quite a discussion because that was kind of new language to a lot of us, what is a public health system. And then we explained the group decision-making process. And the way that we came to score the questions that were asked on the survey is we asked the question on the survey, and then we discussed the discussion box, which was a very good addition to the instrument. I mean, it really did speed up the process from version 1. And it also gave us a greater idea of what the what the question was referring to. In version two, a lot of our discussion was around what do they mean by this question? What is it referring to? But that discussion box explains exactly what the question is referring to. So it was an excellent addition to the instrument. So we discussed the question and around the prompts that was given in the discussion box. And then once we felt like we had exhausted the discussion, we said, okay, are you ready to vote on what score do you think we should get as a system? And we had flags where a red flag would mean the highest score, yellow flag would have the next highest, and the blue flag would be another score. And so the people in the room, they raised the flags, and then if it was like mostly red, we say, okay, you know, red is the answer. If it was really close, we said, okay, let's do a little more discussion. We voted by, we had a consensus building process, and if we could not come up with a consensus, we went with the majority. So that's pretty much how we scored the system. Okay, our scores, we gave us, we fed our scores to CDC, and they really did give us a 48-hour turnaround. They were excellent with that, and we were really excited about our results because their results are really elaborate. I mean, they give you results all different kind of ways, and that was fun to look at. You know, it's fun to discover yourself, you know, so we were really able to discover our local public health system by not only sitting at the table. I tell you, you know, we are doing a local public health system assessment instrument, using the instrument to do that. But when you get many community members to the table that do not come to the table on a regular basis, you really begin to learn what each other are doing. You really begin to connect the dots, and you really begin to see that other agencies are doing things that you did not realize that they were doing, and you really form a camaraderie around public health. In our community, that's what we did. You know, we, you know, it's kind of like finding out, you know, you've been going to meetings with someone, and a stranger, and then all of a sudden you find out your cousins. You know, that's kind of like it was in our public health system. We found out that we were cousins, you know, the whole system. And so now we have a common goal to work toward. And so we really learned from each other. We really built relationships. When we see each other now in a grocery store, at the movie, we know that person works in public health. You know, that person works for this agency. So it really helps you to have that human factor. It's not this is not just an academic process. It really isn't. It's about getting to know your community and making improvements within the system. Okay, so we ended up with our results, and these are our results. Monitor health status was 43.5. And CDC fed us back the low partial, and we had a real high on essential service number two, and I'll talk about that a little more later. Inform, educate, and empower people, essential service number four, essential service number five, the scores are there. Enforce laws, essential service number six, number seven, and number eight, number 9, and number 10. Okay, and like I said, those scores are shown to us by CDC in about 5 different ways, and that's excellent. That's wonderful. I really appreciate that. And so this was our community response to those scores. We held, the health department and the health commission held a reporting back to the community summit. And, you know, that's what we in public health fail to do many times. We survey people, and then we don't report back to them. So we reported back to the community by holding a summit. and we reported the results emphasizing the top three lowest scoring essential services. And also, we emphasized essential service number two, which was really our highest, diagnosing health problems. I would speak a little bit more why we did that. But we have breakout sessions for the top three lowest scoring essential services and essential service number two, the diagnosing. And in our breakout sessions, and PAL number four and number three, essential service number five and essential service number two, those were our breakout sessions. And the agenda was to identify community strengths around that essential service. Okay, what strengths do we have in the community to help us improve on that essential service? Identify community weaknesses or challenges. You know, what's going to stop us? Is it resources or other things that's going to stop us or put a barrier? Nothing stops us in Kansas City with public health. We just keep going at it. But what's going to be a barrier? And then make intervention recommendations using CDC's Healthy People in Healthy Places. So we said, talk about how we can improve upon those essential services using CDC's model. And the reason why we chose to have a breakout session on essential service number two is because, you know, you have community members, agencies, everyone involved in the public's health and public health at the table. However, the local health department is one central service that the local health department engage in more than any other community member is the diagnosing and investigating health problems and perhaps enforcing laws. So we knew that we had lost about 50 employees due to budget constraints in Kansas City. And so that put our disease surveillance staff down real low. And so, we was doing the best we could with the resources we had. We was doing well enough where the community didn't see a real weakness in our surveillance at the health department. But internally, we knew that we were weakened by these cuts. And so we wanted that essential service to be scored. It was scored high by the collective group, but we knew it should have been lower because we knew our weakness. And Dr. Archer, the director of the health department, is in the back of the room. If you want to say a little more on that, or then I. Looking at the areas of improvement, the modernization and update of topics, all the members that participate in version 2 also participated in version 1. So they gave us very favorable feedback, the health department and the health commission, very favorable feedback on the modernization and update of the language that was used in the public health system. So they thought that was an improvement indeed. The format was certainly better. The discussion box, again, was excellent. The format was better. It flowed better, and version 2 flows better than version 1 did. The responses, I'm glad that you guys put another layer of response in there where it wasn't like the version 1 was like 0 to 25%. And I tell you, a lot of our discussion, a lot of the time took in determining, we know it's not zero, and it, you know, from 0 to 25, we knew it wasn't as low as zero, but it's not 25. And so we had to struggle with that. That was just too broad of a range for us to settle on. So that change made a big difference. The two things that cut down the time on the instrument more than anything was the discussion box and changing that score, that 0 to 25% score. And then the summary questions was good. As a local public health department, you know, we really want to know how much of public health are we contributing to the whole health public health system in Kansas City. So we really appreciated being able to see what our contributions were to the public health system. And the instrument challenges, and this is, I don't think is a challenge that can be resolved, but our question was, is 5 pennies a nickel? Okay, and what is meant by that is, okay, you have the public health system that you are evaluating, and you have individual agencies that pretty much know about what their agency does, but doesn't know what all the agencies do collectively, which is the system. So each agency can have their input, and then another agency has have their input, and then you say, okay, we want to score it this way. Well, is that really the system, or is that just a fragmentation of agencies saying what they do and don't do, or is it a really interconnected, integral system that we are evaluating? So we asked the question, does 5 pennies make a nickel? Does these 5 separate agencies saying they do this, does that make it the system? You know? So also, how do we measure the human factor that I spoke to earlier? There are relationships in the system that the instrument doesn't speak to and probably can't speak to, but you have to, we have to be able to appreciate that human factor that's inherited in the local public health system. Thank you.